There's a weird moment as a founder when money stops feeling exciting and it starts feeling really, really heavy. And we are back for...
This is episode 8 of the Agency Diaries, and I am back this one. So you've got Laura and Kate on this one, which is a nice little change up from a guest.
Oh, Laura, it's so nice to have you back. I love having you on the Agency Diaries.
It's quite nice to be on here. It's a nice little change of scenery, nice little new discussion. So it's quite a nice place to be. And I think today we're having quite an interesting conversation. I think one that probably you wouldn't have actually spoke to me about a while ago, and now here you are talking to me and everyone else.
I know.
About finances, all things money, that dreaded topic that nobody ever wants to talk about. Is it right to talk about? Do you talk about how much you charge? Where's the pressure with money? And I just think, let's dive right in. Why did you want to talk about finances today?
So it's really interesting because, Emma Greed has just released a book called Start With Yourself. I bought said book. I've been reading said book. And it's really interesting because it's about, there's a whole sort of chapter in there about money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how women in business sit at these corporate tables and they get into environments where they feel like they have to shy away from talking about money. And it really got my sort of brain working and going into overdrive because I was like, it's actually really true in the agency world. It's something where... you start your agency, you might have started as a freelancer, like I started as a freelancer, and you go by an hourly rate, as an example. You charge out your hourly rate, you charge out, you know, at what you think you know, is a valuable price for the work that you're doing. And then I think you get to the point where you might grow, you might get your first team member, you might then keep building, and you just don't talk about pricing.
Like,
we never used to put our pricing on our website.
Nope.
We never used to have, you know, a consistency in pricing. It was always bespoke. And I think the more immersed we get into our industry, the more, you know, in that agency world, for me, it's really important that that pricing conversation is talked about.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, again, we've got some really good episodes with other agency owners, which if you haven't listened to them, please go and check them out, where we touch on pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, it's never about, we want to be the cheapest. If that's what you want to do, go and be the cheapest. That's really great. If you want to be the most expensive, go and be the most expensive as well. But I think it's that sort of misconception of why we don't talk about pricing in the agency world.
Yeah.
And also for me, why did I feel like pricing was such a challenge?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's not something that comes easy to me. It's not something that I'm like, I really love talking about finances. I really love.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just don't.
No.
It's not something I love talking about. So that's probably why it felt more difficult. But I wanted to do today's episode to open up that sort of money conversation around growing an agency, growing a business, and how fundamental it is to be close to your numbers.
Yeah. So then that goes, I know you mentioned it as well there, things like team and payroll. Where did that change for you from being freelancer to then suddenly having payroll to deal with, working out salaries to deal with? Like, where does that fall in the space of, I'm a freelancer, I just need to make enough money to pay my bills every month, to I need to make enough money to pay everyone else's bills every month?
It's really scary. We'll start there.
Yeah.
And I never forget one of my first clients, and I absolutely adored them. And I worked with them for a really long time. They came on a massive journey with me over sort of the earlier days of the agency and the growth of the agency. And the CEO and the boss of said client, she was a powerhouse. Like, she still is a powerhouse. And I'm not going to name who it is, but she said to me at the end of a call, or we were in a call talking about, you know, marketing support.
Yeah.
And she was like, Kate, my number one priority for me at the end of every month is to pay my team. And that line has just stuck with me throughout, that must have been 4 years ago now. And I'm like, every time, you know, I look at the numbers, I look at where we're at, I look at what we're doing, paying team needs to fundamentally be the first thing. It's so scary because in agency world, there's dips.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Some months you're like, oh my God. And everything just becomes a pressure and it becomes a stress. And I think a massive learner for me is being really close to those numbers is really, really important.
Yeah.
And payroll will never become an easy thing to pay. Like, it'll never feel great. It'll yeah. always feel like you've got responsibility. When the team grows, when the team gets smaller, either way, there's always responsibility there with payroll.
Yeah. And does that then, obviously, we work in agency world, obviously, as this whole point, the whole thing is about, where does then the issue come with, you know, every month you have to pay your team, but you have clients that do that all-time great thing of late payment. So how does that, where do you then go, oh no, I've got three clients that haven't paid on time, but I've got four members of staff who have to be paid. Like, I cannot, you can't just not pay your team. So where does that, how does that impact? So what happens with late payments?
Hugely, absolutely hugely. And that goes into the power of forecasting, right?
Yeah.
And even if we think about, you know, we're a relatively new, I keep saying we're a really like young and new agency. We aren't, but we are.
Yeah.
Because in the last sort of 2 years, we've grown up a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, we've done a lot of stuff. We've changed quite a lot for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even as a team and as individuals within the team, we've all grown
yeah,
hugely.
Definitely.
So with that then comes knowledge of, you know, forecasting, budgeting, all of those things that are yeah. really, really important. I never went to business school. I never got a business degree, but I was so fiercely passionate about setting up my agency mm-hmm. and or our agency and what, you know, what our values were, why we're doing it, what we want to do. That the biggest testament to me, and I think about this a lot, and oh God, I need to say it without crying, is that you as my team,
yeah.
you all trust me to lead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, like my team actually trust me to lead this thing that they show up to every single day and they promote and they want to be a part of it. And I'm like, oh God, that's such a big pressure.
Yeah.
That's huge. So that then goes back to, I didn't go to uni. I didn't do a business degree. I didn't learn about forecasting. I didn't learn about budgeting, but I need to learn about
yeah,
it, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So that my team can then trust that I can do all of the other stuff that I need to do. But to do that, I need time.
Yeah.
To do that, I need to let go of some other stuff. So we're still on a journey with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still going through all of those things that I call boring stuff because I just don't love it. I do yeah. not love it. And it will never come easy to me, but they are fundamentally so important to the success mm-hmm. of the agency
Definitely.
And to where we're going.
I mean, as much as it's like we all, I speak from everyone, this is not just me in this situation. Everyone like loves their job in theory, but at the end of the day, everyone turns up to work to get paid because that's what we work to live. We work to live,
yeah.
which is kind of a sad thing to say, but
or you live to work.
Or you live to work, but either or, unfortunately, you have to pay your bills at the end of each month. So ultimately, we're none of us are working for free.
No.
So if you were then to turn around and go, oh well, X, Y, and Z client haven't paid, so I just can't pay you.
I know.
Everyone would leave. It's safe to say.
Like, so let's just close the doors.
We're okay. Everyone's not gonna. No one's paying, so no one's getting paid. So everyone's going to leave. So that's where we have to trust you, even when it gets to the point of you go, oh, so-and-so haven't paid. I never have that fear of, well, they haven't paid, so that means I'm not going to get paid this month. Because
yeah.
that's not a sensible business model, is it really?
And also it goes into leaning into the climate.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that in there as well, right? If, you know, if we see a change in government, if we see a war, if we, you know,
mm-hmm.
we've had lots going on, COVID, like
yeah, so
there's
much.
A lot of stuff that's happened. Not that you can ever predict for that,
no.
but kind of predicting for things like
you
that.
Kind of plan
well.
For the worst in every situation, don't you?
Yeah. And this is me, and hey, the agency diaries was set up out of being real. This is me saying, I absolutely do not have that figured out yet. It's absolutely a work in progress.
Okay, good to know.
I'm really, really lucky because we have a really solid head of finance who is now pushing us in the right direction.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like that was one of the best hires that we've done
mm-hmm.
probably in the last sort of year and a half
mm-hmm.
Because it's just giving us clarity and lens for the next sort of process of that. And it's like Sophie said on our previous episode about a really good CFO, like it's so valuable.
Yeah.
It is so valuable.
Well, I suppose they have that different lens that you're in it, you're immersed in it, you can say, well, if we don't have X more clients, we can't hire 3 more people. But actually someone else who's out of it can go, well, yeah, because you're spending money there that you don't need to.
Yeah.
But actually, if you look forward and you forecast X, Y, and Z, you can hire those people. Yeah, it might feel scary, but actually, how do you overcome that to grow the business to ultimately gain more money? It's like, it's similar to what we actually say to clients of, you have to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
Well, so do you in the agency.
It's difficult though, Laura, because there's always, and I was only having a conversation this morning with another agency owner, right? And I try and circle myself in these groups more than ever. And I do it on purpose because I think it's really important that I'm close to the industry. But it comes with risk. How much of a risk taker you are versus how much can you predict stuff, right? I would say if somebody said to me, Kate, you're a risk taker, I'd be like, I'm not a risk taker at all. But actually, the more I go through this process and the more I learn about myself, the more I learn about our agency, I am actually quite ballsy. Like some of the things I decide and make decisions on, I'm like, I've got no data to back that up. I've got no insights. My gut is telling me that this is right.
Always a good way to go.
Which goes totally against
everything that you stand for.
Totally against everything that I stand for, right? But how do we get from where we are now to where we want to get to? There's risk involved in that.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You've got to take risk. Like, really good example. We're currently looking for a new AM at the moment. And that process is really exciting. Have I just told our head of finance that we're having a new team member? Yes, I absolutely have. Did he nearly fall off his chair? Yes, he absolutely did.
Okay.
Because that is that risk piece. Because I fundamentally know that we need that hire.
You need it, yeah.
Can I tell you that all the numbers line up? Absolutely, can I not? Okay. But that's that risk piece. I think to be a founder, to be an agency owner, there is a level of, you've got to have balls.
And it does get to the point where, if you don't make that risk, we're just going to stay the same and nothing's going to get bigger or better or grow. And eventually everything will feel really stagnant.
Yeah.
You have to take those risks to...
And just on that, how much do we like moving really fast?
Exactly. Otherwise it gets boring. And if we just stay like a small team, just plodding along, thinking, oh, well, maybe we could hire someone if we get to this point. The benchmark's always going to keep moving. Because as we grow, it'll always go, oh yeah, but actually that money can be spent on this, this and this. And actually, if we strip it back and go, well, actually that money can be spent on this new person, which then allows this person to do this, this person to do this.
Yeah.
Kate can go over here and do this. And actually, what can that open up? It's completely different. And then that's, again, that's probably one of those cash flow anxiety of, is the cash flow going to be there?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And it's so funny because somebody said to me as well a couple of weeks ago. In fact, let me go back a step.
Yeah.
So I talk about my dad a lot.
Yeah.
And everything I do, I talk about my dad. My dad was an MD of a company. He had something like 70 stores, 800 staff. He was a people person.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him, right? He was such a boss. And I always aspire to be like my dad.
Yeah.
Always aspire to be like my dad, right? But somebody said to me a couple of weeks ago, Kate, you love spending. And I was like,
ouch.
Yeah. Firstly, ouch. Secondly, I think what's really important is when you're growing a business, absolutely every penny counts in a business, right? But it goes back to risk. It goes back to opportunity. And it goes back to the future as well. Mm-hmm. You have to be in a situation where you want to invest in opportunity and you want to invest in growth. And to do that, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, you have to spend.
Yeah.
Whether that's on, and again, we've spoke about this from our pod with Matthew from Yugen, whether that's on branding, whether that's on equipment, whether that's on team, whether that's on whatever that is, you have to invest, right? Mm-hmm. Which feels really scary. It feels really risky. But also, you have to take your team on that journey with you as well. And you tell me, Laura, but I'd like to think from a team perspective, like, we are really lucky. We do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, definitely.
As a team. And those rewards, I would call them as rewards, are, to me, fundamental to our team, to our growth, to our visibility, because it just brings us all along on that journey together, which is really, really important.
No, definitely. definitely. So I think we've obviously covered the scary parts of it, but what changed for you to be in the position that you are now with a team, looking to expand, doing things like branding, growing, changing the business up a little bit? What changed for you to get there?
Oh, that's such a hard question. What changed? So obviously our agency was born out of me being an email marketer.
Yeah.
Loved being an email marketer, still love being an email marketer. Still arguing with me to get off the tools. I think we'll still be there for a little while yet, but we are definitely getting better. And I think the massive change for me was getting to a point where we seriously got in our lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all within our agency now, like the team we've got, the core team that we've got, we work really hard to all get in our lanes.
Yeah.
It took us a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Took us some learnings. Mm-hmm. It took me to step back a bit, stop being a control freak, Kate. And I think when we all got in our lanes and we were working with some really cool people as well, I was like, this is really exciting. Like, this is at the point where I know the future for what we're doing is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think I was interviewed actually on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and they were asking me about my why. And again, it goes back to my dad. I always started to make my dad proud, to, you know, create something. I was the only girl of the family.
Yeah.
I wanted to stand out. I wanted to shine in a family full of boys. And, you know, two of them have done really well in their career. One is a professional rugby player. And I just thought, I need to like stand on my own. I'm a Williams. I need to like seriously stand tall. But as time's gone on, my why's now changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the point of that why changed, that's when I think things really shifted for me. Like, the team were in their lane. You guys were absolutely flourishing. The clients were really exciting. Like, we were doing all of this cool stuff. And I was like, this is now really exciting.
Yeah.
And I think the moment that you lose that excitement, the moment that you lose that hunger, you get in a really difficult spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak to a lot of agency owners who are very much in the same position. And I try and be a bit of a hype girl. Like, I've spoken to people this week and they're like, oh, I've just lost my mojo a bit this week. And I'm like, you've got this. Like, it's a hard gig, but go back and, you know, get your why back. Get back to, why did you start doing what you're doing? And I think it's really important that you keep so immersed into that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't always look ahead. Like, just sometimes sit and really quietly, like, I sit in my garden. I absolutely love, I might as well be 70, but I love my garden. And just sit with a coffee somewhere really quietly and go, what have we actually achieved?
Yeah.
And I've done quite a lot of that over the last few months of like, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I could cry. We are like, I'm so proud of where we are. I'm so proud of what we're achieving. But also, I'm a really ambitious person, mm-hmm. and I'm really hungry for what's next all the time. You know that more than anyone, Laura. So I don't like slowing down. Yeah. I love like being speedy. I love being agile. And I don't think that's ever going to change anytime soon.
No, fair enough. And I think that's really good and really kind of interesting to hear from your point of view. But what I'd like to probably dive in a little bit more, where we've said about finances and you've touched on that awkward pricing structure and talking about it versus not, where do things like retainer prices, deposits, is that even a thing? Like, working out that cash flow piece from that, how does that sit and how has that grown with the business?
That's also a really difficult one, something I don't actually find easy. I don't love doing it and I don't enjoy doing it. So let's talk about it.
Okay, well, let's move on from that then.
No, it is important. So forecasting, really important. Like, how can you forecast based on what clients you've got, based on what the future looks like? I think when we first started, I used to operate very much on a maybe 2 month ahead basis. Mm. Now I'm looking at like 6 to 12 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
So for us, that's massive. So that's probably the first part. The split between, you know, if I'd have said 2 years ago, we're going to ask for a payment up front,
mm-hmm.
I would have been like, we're absolutely not. Like, we can't ask for payment until we've delivered the work, used to be my motto.
Yeah.
But actually, like, now we're a full team, hands are double touching projects, right? So if hands are double touching projects and clients are in the door, then that makes deposits up front not a scary thought because we're already doing the doing, right? So I think deposits, absolutely, dependent on the project, can be really important. I think forecasting also really important. I think there's a piece around there around like boundaries though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, as an agency, we're getting better at this, aren't we? You know, when I was on my own, I would over service. Yeah. And we will never lose that sort of human approach. That's really, really important to what we do and who we are and our values and all of those things that go into it. But I think boundaries are really important when you talk about pricing,
yeah,
when you talk about retainers, when you talk about projects, and when you talk about going above and beyond. Yeah. And it will always be a challenge for me, probably less so for you, because you sit on that client side and you're probably more confident in doing that than I am.
Yeah.
You're probably like, this is definitely above and beyond. And I'm like, but it's not.
Like, but it is.
But is it though? And our listeners can definitely probably hear the dynamics and conversations that me and Laura have on the regular.
Honestly, it's a good job we work from home a lot of the time, I swear to God.
Can you imagine if we were in an office all the time? I'd be like, no.
No one would want to sit anywhere near us. They'd be like, oh, they're at it again.
Yeah. But I think as that experience comes, as that sort of, you know, your services and what you're offering to your clients becomes clearer, I think it becomes more obvious and easier to understand your numbers, basically.
No, definitely. I think that's really good. And I think as well, where you've said about over-servicing, under-servicing, I don't think under-servicing is ever something we've ever had to worry about, because like you said, we go above and beyond.
I think also what's really important, like going back to, so Emma Greed's book that I've been reading, it's so interesting because it's about like, or she touches on like mental bandwidth of like money, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to money is an enabler. It's an enabler to invest. It's an enabler for us to grow. It's an enabler for us to get more team in. Mm-hmm. And it really, really helps speed up what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So protecting that sort of mental load of it as well. Like, how do I sit there and go, okay, so we've got a new client in. This means, which means this. And it means we can then do this. Like, I need to go and sit in a dark room to translate all that. And I think in an agency world when, and I'm sure loads of our listeners can absolutely resonate with this, where there's so many comms, there's so many like different conversations going on, there's so many channels, there's so many decisions to make. How can you create the space to have really good money decisions that are going to move the needle for the business, that are going to fundamentally help with that growth piece when there's just so much other shit to do?
No, definitely.
Like, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. And one thing that I do that I try and fiercely protect, I don't do it very well, I need to do a better job at it, but is I really try and make sure that on a Friday, I have no calls in the diary. Yeah. I don't speak to my team on a Friday. Like, I am emotionally unavailable on a Friday. And what that then gives me is the space to, whether I'm driving up the M5, whether I'm sat at home with my cats.
Often driving up the M5 driving back down the M5.
There's a lot of M5 driving going on.
There is.
Whether I'm sat in my garden, what it does is it creates the space and it gives me that time to think about those money decisions, because I can't do that in the day to day.
No.
I can't physically sit there and, you know, make a decision on what we're doing from a marketing perspective, what we're doing from an email perspective, then jump into a client account, then like go into, I don't know, time tracking or whatever, and then sit there and go, oh, great. So now I need to make this huge decision. Like, I just need the mental
space to not be involved
to deal with it. So I try and get MIA on a Friday.
Fair. I think we've all worked out Fridays should be different days for all of us. Yeah. It works quite well. We all like to be on our own on a Friday.
Yeah, I feel like the week's just so front-loaded as well.
And you just kind of get ready for a weekend then. You're just like, I need to not speak to anyone so I can actually be sociable with my life.
Exactly that. And we're all just a bit done by then.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Sorry to anyone I speak to on a Friday.
I know.
So sorry. So I think that ties in really nicely to kind of three things every agency founder should implement this quarter and how that ties in to a little something that we've got together.
Give me a clue.
the playbook that we have. Okay. There we go. she definitely knows it, I promise.
No, I do know it. So three things that agency founders should focus on this quarter when we're thinking about money and when we're thinking about all the stuff that I find really boring, basically.
Yep.
Doesn't come naturally to me. It's something that I don't prioritize. It's an eat my frog at the end of every week. But here we are. It's fundamental to business growth.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and I cannot stress that enough. Like, I thought I was massively on top of our finances and what we were doing. And now I've got a head of finance. I'm like,
this is like so out of the loop. Yeah.
Well, I'm like, this is like a whole new skill set I'm learning. Like, I feel like I'm back at school. It's great.
Good.
It's like every day's a school day. There's so much more to learn. There's so much more that we can really drill into. And like, I get it now.
Good.
There's loads of stuff that it's great.
3 years in, I'm really glad that my boss knows how to like pay my bills and stuff like that.
No, that bit's the easy bit.
I'm so glad she knows that.
The bit about growth.
Yeah.
And, you know, an agency model, I say this all the time, we're not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
We're not creating something new. We're not creating a different model to everybody else out there. But we're surviving. Like, we are surviving. We want to grow. We've got big ambitions. We've got so much exciting stuff coming up. Which we've definitely alluded to on previous podcasts as well. But with all of that comes risk. With all of that comes, you know, different focuses as well. I think like each quarter you have to focus on different things. Everybody I've spoken to this week who is in some way, shape or form a support system for me, you are definitely one of those support systems, has said to me, Kate, you've got a lot on your plate at the moment. Yeah. I'm like, you have no idea. So I think, for me, three things that are absolutely fundamental when you're thinking about money and you're thinking about growing your agency or even just surviving is cash flow forecasting.
Yep.
Absolutely number one. It's talking about budgeting, number two. I think because we sit in marketing, we get so excited by shiny new objects in marketing that we're like, yeah, let's do that. But actually, do we have the marketing budget, which if you were in a
any
brand
other business,
or any other business, you would have
your own set budget,
Right. So for us, that needs to absolutely happen.
We need an actual set budget for things like marketing expenses, all of those things that have just been one big budget.
Exactly that. So I think cash flow forecasting, I think budgeting, I think marketing budget absolutely in a marketing agency should be a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think systems is my third one.
Interesting.
And what I mean from a systems perspective is there's so many AI tools out there now. There's so many different platforms from a finance perspective. There's so many different tools out there that can help you. But I think systems can really help when it comes to money and looking forwards. So I think line up your tech platforms, look at your tools. How can those things really help with the next steps of, you know, the future?
Nice.
I think there were three good ones.
I think they were a really good one. I think the only one I'd add in purely from conversations with you, obviously I don't do any
behind. Are you throwing me under the bus now?
No, this is actually, I think one that I said to you the other day, I was like, I'm really proud of you for stepping back and realizing. And I think it comes from the fact that you've started to remove that emotional side of those money-making decisions. Because before I feel like you'd be like, well, that's coming out of my pocket. But actually now you're like, no, it's coming out of KW Marketing's pocket. And what does that look like? And how does that grow that business that you are part of? It's taking that, well, it's my baby, out and actually going, right, okay, this is a business, same as any multi-million pound business out there. You have to remove yourself and actually go, okay, this is not an emotional decision, it's a business decision. And I think that's something that I will say that you have slowly beginning to like actually be like, okay, I can do this. Like when you said to me something about hiring this week, I was like, a year ago you'd have never have done this.
It's been a real big journey, Laura. And again, I'll go back to, like, touched on this with Sophie in the previous episode. For me, you go through these massive, like, life changes, right? You get married, you have a child, you do all of these things. But for me, this journey into agency world and growth and fundamentally looking towards the future has been the biggest learning curve.
Yeah.
I've ever had. And like, even if I go back 3 years, like I used to cry at everything. Every like every business decision, every email I'd get that was of the wrong tone or something hadn't quite gone my way, I'd cry. And I'd ring my mum and she'd be like...
Like, sort yourself out.
Yeah, she'd be like, what's the matter? No, and then she'd be like, nobody's died, darling.
It's like, didn't I say this to you the other day when we were all having some days off and you were like, is everything okay? I was like, Kate, we don't work in open heart surgery.
Yeah, it's so true though.
We don't.
It's so true. And that doesn't mean that we've taken out the care and love for what we do.
No, not at all.
What that means is, for me, it's one, hardening up a little bit, but also two, knowing where our boundaries are.
That's such a big one.
But also three, for me, the biggest learner has been, like, I'm on a journey of now turning into an agency leader, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to lead by example. I'm trying to lead from the top. I don't always get that right. I love a gin and tonic, like, let you know, whatever. But I think what's really important is, whilst that transition is happening and I'm growing a team and we're growing a team, it's really interesting watching it play out, because the team is going to come up and actually they're going to overtake me, which, am I okay with that? If you'd have asked me that a year ago, I'd have been like, that really scares me.
Yeah.
Ask me that now, I'm like, I'm all here for
it. Yeah, like, in theory, the team's skill set will overtake yours because we're on the tools and you're not.
Yeah, fantastic.
And that's
fantastic.
Kind of the risk you took with starting a business and not
exactly
working somewhere else.
And what it then gives me is that headspace to step into that, like, well, where are we going? What are we doing? What
into do that all business these, owner piece.
What do all these things that are happening mean for us for the future? And, like, that journey itself is huge.
Yeah.
Is absolutely huge. And again, somebody said to me the other day, like, oh, you're a people pleaser. And I was like, I probably have been a people pleaser, but I'm not sure I'm a people pleaser now.
I think it depends what people you're speaking to. Mm.
Oh, unpopular opinion.
No, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a good thing. Like,
I think in our world, you do have to be a people pleaser. But
yeah,
I think...
But I think there's still boundaries. And I think that's where... I think we've spoke about it so many times as well, that agency seems to not have the same boundary as anything else, because...
Yeah.
We kind of... Not that we don't have the same respect given to us, but... Also, kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a way to describe it, really.
Yeah.
But I think that's where that real... Actually, yeah, we are people.
Yeah.
People.
People pleasers.
People pleasers. All of the above. But actually, we have boundaries. We all work for money, same as they pay us because they need a service.
Yeah.
We deliver that service that they pay for.
Yeah.
And that is ultimately...
Yeah.
What makes the world go round.
And I think it's really fair to say as well, right? So this episode is all about money. And the reason I wanted to do it about money, one, was to open the door that we can really comfortably talk about money in the agency world. And hopefully from this episode, not everyone be like, oh, they've got loads of money. Because that is absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, we are a self-funded agency. We've had to scale organically.
Yeah.
No, I'll take that back. We've chosen to scale organically. We've had no investment. And everything we've done has been through learned experiences. Mm-hmm. It's been through surrounding our world with the right people. Mm-hmm. But also, we've had some really, really tough times as well.
Gotcha.
And we will have some really, really tough times. And those times, for me, are where... leaning in is so important. Having that, and it goes back to that mental bandwidth. Like, when things are tough, when money and finances become tough, you have to have that space to go away and to be able to analyze it really deeply and go, okay, so what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which way can we move? Which way do we have flexibility to move? And what's the right decision? They are the big decisions to make. But it doesn't mean that you're failing.
No.
Like, you will always have difficult times in any business. And I can categorically tell you that we're going to have thousands more difficult times. We're riding on a really exciting time for us right now.
Yeah.
We're going through, we've spoken about it and we've launched it already. We're going through a rebrand, which feels huge. So that's where our excitement comes from, right? But we are going to continue having hard times. Every business has a hard time, but it's how you lean into it, how you deal with it. I don't always get it right. Like, I absolutely don't always get it right. But I have to go with the data I've got, the numbers, staying really, really close to the numbers. And also, I lean into my gut a lot. You've said this before. You're like, Kate, your gut does really well. And I'm like, it doesn't always get it right. But I feel like I'm a really good sort of judge on which way I know I want to go.
Yeah.
And I, again, as part of obviously what we're looking at for the future, somebody who's working with us on that project said to me, you're great, Kate, because you know what you love and you know what you hate.
Very much so.
If I love it, great. If she hates it, it's got to go. Yeah. And I think
it's hard.
And I think that is also a challenge because there's no talking me down. If I don't like it, that's it. Which is bad, right?
Yes.
But also great because what it gives us is speed.
Yeah.
And it means we can move at pace.
Yeah.
You know, there's no grey.
No, there's no I'm unsure. It is yes or no.
No. So I think my sort of point to that is financial pressures, money pressures, and all of the things that go into growing a business will always be apparent at whatever stage of agency life or business growth you're at. It's how you lean into it. It's how you navigate it. It's how you understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't mean you're failing. Like, I see those moments as, and you can ask me this, Laura, when I'm in one of those moments, but I always see them as a challenge.
Yeah.
And I always see them as a learner. Like, how can I then learn from that situation? How can we never make that happen again? Mm-hmm. And that's so key. Like, you can't just take every situation and be like, oh, great, we'll be here again in a month's time.
Yeah, so true.
And that's why you need the space and mental bandwidth to do it.
Perfect.
I thought that was a really good answer.
You've wrapped that up very, very nicely. I think that's a nice point to leave on.
Do you? Have we done?
I think we're done.
I think we're done as well. And anybody who's listening, they might not want to, but I highly recommend it. Go and read Emma Greed's book about, she's got a really good sort of chapter within that book on money. I think it's a really good sort of connotation around opening up the conversations about it. I think also, don't be afraid to talk about it.
Like,
talk about it. The more we talk about pricing, money, retainers, projects, like all of that stuff, I think I see a lot of startup agencies, especially freelancers that then start an agency, they're like, oh, we'll go by, you know, our hourly rate or whatever. If you get the model right that we're not trying to reinvent and you lean into it, it's already been worked out for you. So go and find out how, you know, how to do that, because we're in that process and it's actually quite interesting. I can't believe I'm saying that about finances, but it's an interesting one to learn. And I think the last point when you're talking about money is think about money as opportunity and think about it as future investment into your business.
Nice. I feel like that wraps it up really nicely. So I feel like nice way to end. I think we touched on it briefly is the fact that we have the agency survival kit, which is always, it's free to download. It's got bits about kind of money, finances, that world of craziness all in there. It's absolutely free. So check out, if you're on our Instagram, the link in our bio, it's linked in our YouTube, everything like that. So make sure to check that out. Obviously, follow the agency diaries and leave a review.
And
make sure you're subscribed, obviously.
And also, I think we would love, we get, so this community is growing really,
so
really
fast.
Quickly. And it started as a passion project, right? It was a little idea that I had that I thought, I think this could be something, because there's not enough conversation around the agency world. There's not enough conversation around not fluffing up and not being like, oh, it's, you know, it's all great and it's all wonderful. It's not. It's really hard work. But the agency diaries was born out of just opening up that world. And I think we get so many comments. We get so much feedback from people on Instagram. We get comments on YouTube as well of people saying about the topics that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think if anybody has a topic, if anybody has something that they want us to talk about, please just drop us a DM, because
definitely.
That would really help us, you know, look around what future episodes can look like. We're here to open up the floor for you guys. We're not just here to sit and talk about a load of random stuff. Like, I want to be talking about stuff that's going to help.
Yeah.
And the future of the agency diaries looks really exciting. I'm not going to put any, you don't even know this, Lord, yet. I haven't even told you. That's why she's like on the edge of her seat.
What's happening?
But the future of the Agency Diaries looks really, really exciting as well. And I can only see that this community and this movement of people in the same environment as we're in is going to continue growing. So please support us. Please comment like about future episodes. Please make sure that you're checking out what we're doing. We're doing this for you guys.
Yeah.
We're so fiercely passionate about opening up the floor. And exactly like Laura says, we've got our agency survival kit. It is full to the brim of hints, tips, advice that you need if you're in agency world. So make sure you go and download that. It's on our website if you need it. Yeah. It's a link in our bio. And I think that wraps up episode 8.
We're done.
Yay. Thanks for being here, Laura.
That's all right. Thanks for having me again.